Begin the current daven sechs in the darim daf samach vav. We begin on the top of the yamin, where the Gemara continues with the next mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the halachas of a pesach, which is when a person takes a neder and then he goes to the chacham and the sage could find for him an opening in regards to a variable he wasn't fully aware of. That had he known about it at the time of the neder, he would not have made the neder. So therefore, that then undoes the neder. So on that, our mishnah tells us that pesachin biyam tevim ubishabbasas. Similarly, an element that can be used to clarify and show that you didn't really want to make a neder can be utilized regarding Yom Tov and Shabbos. And that is, for example, the sage would tell the person who took the neder, had you known that this neder, let's say that you took, that you can't drink wine, would make you forbidden to be in pain on Shabbos, and if you had known that when you thought about, hey, this Shabbos and Yom Tov, that you would be in pain, would you have made such a neder? And if he says, no, I would not have made such a neder, so then they permit the neder. Now, however, the Mishnah tells us, originally they would say that that's excluded from the neder. You meant to take the neder throughout the week. It's just a Shabbos and Yom Tov, you wouldn't want to be in pain. Now, so therefore, that's not included in the neder. And therefore, those days are permitted. But the rest of the days that are not Shabbos and Yom Tov are forbidden that you did mean to make a neder for. Until Rabbi Kiva came and he taught that no. A neder that has any heter, anything that gets cut off from the neder, hutr kulay, then that undoes the whole entire neder. Which, as the Ram brings from the Yerushalmi, which is learned from the Pasuk, kechol hayoyitz mipivyasa. The halach of neder tells you that whatever comes out of his mouth he has to do, which sounds like that it's only when it's kechol. When everything that he said, the full neder is intact, then he has to keep it. But if some of it gets undone, like in this case where suddenly days are being excluded from the neder because of Shabbos and Yom Tov, then the whole neder becomes undone. So the Mishnah says, "Ketzad, what's a illustration of this halacha?" So Amar Koyinim Sheini Neder Lekulchem. If let's say somebody says, "I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to have enough for all of you people," now Hutur Echad Mehen. If the neder then shows through the Pesach that one of the individuals were not included in the neder. So hutra kulam. So therefore now they all become permitted again based on the same concept, which is since part of it gets a Pesach, so the whole thing gets undone. Now, however, that's only if he said in this generalistic term of this one neder where he says like she'eni neder l'kulchem. He put them all in one neder, in one terminology. But if he says she'eni neder l'zeh u'l'zeh, if he says, I'm not going to have enough to you, to you, to you, for this one, this one, this one. Now, as the Gemara explains previously, that it's talking about where he said this one, and he said that this one is like this one, meaning he kept on going and being contingent one on the other. So then the Mishnah says, Hutta Harishan. So in this case also, if the first guy who was the one that he made the neder for, if he becomes permitted, because they found the Pesach that he would never have really want to make this one-to-one forbidden, so then Hutra Kulan. So then they're all going to be permitted again because since they're all dependent on the first one, where it wasn't just that this one's forbidden and this one, there's like this one like that one and that one like that one and so on. So they're all chained together. So once the first one is permitted, they're all permitted. But Huta Ha'achrin, if the last person gets permitted, let's say through a Pesach from the Nether, then the Achrin Mutter Bekul Nasur, and then actually only the last one is permitted, but they're all forbidden. And again, because each one essentially is a separate Nether. That this one is Nether and this one is this one. It wasn't like in the previous case of the concept of Hutra Mechlalai, then Hutra Kulai, that's only be given in one nether, that Sheni Neder L'Kulcha. But here we said each one individually, so though if let's say the first one is Mutter, then they all are, because they're all linked together, but if you take off the last link, only he'll be permitted, but the rest will still be forbidden. Now the Mefarshim explained that this next line in the parentheses is really from a Braisa. The Braisa says, similarly, a Hutra Hamtzai, if one of the middle people, let's say made 20 people forbidden, with this nether, so if the middle one becomes permitted, so himenu lamata mutter, so from him and further down below, meaning those that became usher after him, they'll be permitted, because again, it was all linked together, but himenu lamata usher, but from him and above, they're still going to be usher again, because that they were not dependent on him, he was dependent on them, and therefore those below him are permitted, but those above him are still forbidden. Now the Mishnah says, moreover, let's say he says, shani nena lezeh carbon. That there's a halacha of a carbon, meaning like a kainim, a neder, to have enough for this person, ulezer carbon, but this person like a carbon, well then, tzrichim pesach l'chol echad ve'echad. Then you need to have a pesach, an opening, for each single person, and the reason being is because you essentially made a separate neder for each person. So therefore, they're not one big neder. And like we said before, that's the same idea, where it's not the halacha of hutr mechlala, hutr kulay. Each one has a separate pesach that's required, because he said, this one a carbon, and this one a carbon, and this one, they're all separate nedar. Now, however, going back to the halacha of Rabbi Kiva, where, however, that another illustration of hutr mechlala, hutr kulay, for example, let's say someone says, koinim yayin shani toyim. He says, I'm taking a neder, and I'm not tasting wine. And why? Sha'ayayin ralamayim, because wine is bad for the stomach. Now, Amaloi, they said to him, what do you mean? But old wine is good for the stomach. You're drinking the bad stuff. You drink the good wine, it'll be good for your stomach. So on that, the Mishnah tells us, so he's permitted in the old wine, as the Ran explains, even without a Pesach, without an opening. And the reason being is because he obviously never intended to be Aser in this type of a wine. It's only wine that's bad for the stomach. So good wine, old wine was never included in that. Now that is what the Mishnah says. He's not only permitted in the old wine, rather than all wine, again, based on the concept of what we said in that Mishnah, from Rabbi Kiva, that since you're permitted in some of it, the whole neder is now undone, you're permitted in all wine. Similarly, if someone says, I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to eat onions, because onions are bad for the heart. Now, Amr Loi, they said to him, what do you mean? There's a type of onion called kufri that's good for the heart. So hutba kufri, so he automatically becomes permitted in the kufri one again because that was never included. Now vileba kufri bilvad hutr, and that's what the Mishnah says, like Rabbi Kiva, not only is it permitted in that type of onion, rather in all the onions, and like the Mishnah concludes, Maisahai, it actually was such an incident. Viti Remeir Bukhalabitsalam and Remeir, based on this halacha, permitted the person in all the onions, again because of this concept of hutr machlalai, is hutr kulay. Now the Mishnah said hutr ha'akhrin. If the last person, if let's say you said each one, lazeh, lazeh, not that you said lekulchem, so then if the last one is permitted, sa'achar mutar bekul nasurin, so then the last one is permitted, but then they're all forbidden because they weren't one big neder to say hutar mechlala, hutar kulay, it was just that this one is forbidden, and then this one's like that, and that one like that, so each one's individually, again, but the one that's higher up on the rung will undo all those below that. Now the Mefarshim explained that actually there should be a v'chulu over here, which means etc., because the primary topic the Gemara is going to ask about now is actually the next part of the Mishnah, which talks about when if someone says regarding individuals, shaninen lezer carbon, he says that I'm taking a halach of a neder that I'm not going to have enough from this one, and shaninen lezer carbon, so that's when each one's going to be considered a separate neder, and you're going to then need, if you want to undo the nedarim, a separate pesach, a separate opening for each individual neder. Now it's on that that the Gemara asks, man tana. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah that taught this idea that when you say lezer carbon and ulezer carbon that you need to have a Pesach, a separate undoing, a separate opening for each individual person that you made a neder for? So obviously what you could inferentially understand from the Tana of our Mishnah is that you're not going to view them as individual nedarim only if by each one you mention the word carbon, which is the term of making a neder for each one individually. Because if not, whether you said lezeh u lezeh with a vav, or you said lezeh oy lezeh without a vav, either way, that would be considered klola as if it was one big neder. So that's what the Gemara is asking, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Because that seemingly you could say would be considered separate in the Dharm. Because if you're saying lezeh oy lezeh, well, so then, or you're saying lezeh u lezeh, you're saying whether you're saying with a vav, without a vav, you're saying lezeh u lezeh, or lezeh, lezeh, either one, you're continuously saying each one individually, and that is what it's seemingly understood from our Mishnah, that they're not considered individual. They would be considered as one big neder, because our Mishnah is saying only when you said carbon lezeh and carbon lezeh. But if you didn't need that, you would just say lezeh, 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 that would also be enough to tell us you need a separate Pesach. The Mishnah is not saying that, that's the Gemara's question. So who's the Tana of our Mishnah? So Rabba says, Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon. Because the Amar that he says, and this is brought in Perek Shavuos HaPekodin, Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Vav and Beis, regarding an individual that had five creditors, five people that had claimed that they had deposited stuff with him, and they were coming to claim their deposits. Now, this person was making a Shavuos HaPekodin, which is the oath regarding deposits that were with him, and he was responding to them. He said, look, Loi Lecha, Loi Lecha, I don't have your deposit, I don't have your deposit. So on that, Reb Shimon said that that individual is not going to be chayiv for each individual person as a separate shavuos hapekadim with all its ramifications, until he says an oath for each individual person, which means to say he has to say shvua lelecha to each individual person. But if not, then whether he said it with a vav or without a vav, in other words, like we said before, whether you say lelecha without a vav or lelecha v'lelecha, which is the same thing as we said before regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, which is not said, which if he said carbon lezeh with a vav or without a vav, lezeh, and that is what we see from Shimon, that would be considered as one big statement and not individual. It's only considered individual if you say the term of the neder or the shvuah for each one individually. So therefore, in that halacha of Reb Shimon, you're not going to be chayav a carbon shvuah for each individual one, because since you didn't say shvuah for each one, you're going to be exempt. And so too, in the halacha of our Mishnah, that to require a separate Pesach for each one would only be if you say carbon for each one. But if you didn't say carbon for each one, we'll view it as one big neder, and therefore with one Pesach, you could undo all of them, as we said, the halacha of hutr mechlalai, hutr kulai. Now the Mishnah said, "Koinim yayin shani tayim v'chulu." If someone said, and this was an illustration of the halacha of Rebbe Kiva, that if someone says, "I'm taking a neder, I'm not tasting wine," and the reason being v'chulu is because wine's bad for the intestines, and then they tell him, "What do you mean? Old wine is good for it," and therefore that's what the Mishnah said. Okay, so he's permitted miyushin, and then he's permitted old wines. Now on that, the Gemara just wonders that why did the Mishnah have to say that the people are telling him that old wine is good for the stomach? But even if it's not good, the tebek le'dein ra, it should be enough to undo the neder, just enough that it's not bad. It could be neutral. And the reason is, since it's not bad, so now you permit it in old wine, because the whole reason why he made the neder was only because that wine is bad. He didn't need the benefits of it. He just didn't want it to hurt him. So why'd have to say that because it's good? So that Amar Baba says, you're right, v'ayd, and also yafa, that it's good, ketani, that's what the Mishnah is saying. In other words, first of all, it's not bad. And you're right, with that itself, that would be permitted. But, and definitely, we don't have to say that for sure it's going to be permitted, because not only is it not bad, it's even good. So to the Mishnah said, that koinim b'tzal shanitayim shabitzal v'chulu, another illustration was, the person said, I'm not eating onions, because onions are bad for the heart. They said, what do you mean? There's a type kofi that's good for the heart. Oh, so he's permitted in that one, so therefore he's permitted in all of them. So to the Gemara asks, but typically the ain ra. Why do you have to say that that's good for the heart? Just say it's not bad. On that, Amar Rabbi says, right, v'oid yafa katani, and that moreover, that it's good. That's what the Mishnah is saying, but you're right, it would be enough to permit that type, which then undoes part of the nether and thus permits the whole nether, just enough that it's not bad, because the whole reason why he said was he doesn't want the detrimental effects. He doesn't need it to have necessarily a positive effect. And the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continue on this theme about a Pesach for the neder, to undo the neder. So this Torah regarding someone that made a neder regarding his wife until that he was going to have to divorce her. So the Mishnah says, Peschin la'adam b'chvayt atzmai u'b'chvayt banav, that we could create a Pesach for a person regards to his own honor. Meaning, had you known at the time how disgraceful this would be for yourself or for your children. So we can utilize that as a Pesach regarding in the case of when a person is coming to divorce his wife and realize the ramifications which you were not fully aware of. And as the Ram points out, we're not concerned that he's going to lie because of embarrassment, which was the concern, like we said, regarding Kavanah Malkum, that we can't use that as a Pesach, because the person will say, oh, he really didn't care. But they'll say, oh, of course, because he doesn't want to say such an outlandish, audacious thing. He was not concerned for that. And the person would say, no, I don't care. But therefore, we could use that as a Pesach, where if he says, you're right, I didn't realize how dishonorable this is going to be for me or for my children, so then we could use that as a Pesach. And that is, ultimately, we tell him, look, ilo ha-yisi yedea, had you known and thought about this when you made the neder, shalamacha, imalacha, what are they going to say about you tomorrow? Kachi vesta shalplani, this is the characteristic, this is the personality of this guy. Megarshas nashav, he divorces his wives. Va'abanesecha yayimu, what are they going to say about your daughters? B'nais grusha saying, that the daughters of divorced women, and that is marasa iman shalei garish. What did it see fit that the mother should be divorced? Must have been something, and therefore she's from this type of a family. Again, not good things. And therefore we can use that as a Pesach for the person to say, look, your neder is making you divorce your wife. Look, think about it. Had you realized this, the problem with your covenant and your children's covenant, would you have made it? And if he says no, and he says, Elo Yisi Yadesh, again, had I known that this is going to be like this, I was not thinking like this. Well, he said, no, he would have never made a neder. Hariz Amutas, and then that's a valid Pesach for his neder, and then he's permitted, doesn't have to fulfill that neder of divorcing his wife. And the Mishnah continues, which this is the seif of the previous Mishnah on the Samachay. Kainim shani neisa es polonis kura. Someone says, I'm taking a neder, I'm not marrying that ugly woman. And turns out, vahrehi, no, she's actually beautiful. Or shcheira, I'm not marrying that black woman. Vahre levonish, actually white. Kitsa, I'm not marrying that short woman. Vahre arucha, actually turns out that she's tall. So mutabas, so the Mishnah says, so he's permitted to marry her. Now, loimim nekshi ka'ura v'nasis, no, it's not because she was ugly and she became beautiful. Or shcheira v'nas levon, that she was dark and that she became light. Or kitsar v'nas arucha, that she was short and she became tall. Because actually, as the Ram points out, if that would have been the circumstances, then it wouldn't be permitted. And actually, it would not be like the Mishnah on the previous Dav said, this halacha of Ketoyla Nidja Bedova, which is that you, the whole context of your neder was like, if this woman has a bad father, and then he dies or does tshuva, where that would not have been the reason why you had made such a neder. That actually is not the same thing, as the Ram actually brought two differences in that halacha. And therefore, it's not included in that. And actually, even as a Pesach, it wouldn't work, because this is Neilut. It's something that only develops at a later point in time. So therefore, since at the time of the Neder, she was Shachar, or was short, or whatever it is, even if something actually just suddenly changed, that wouldn't be a valid Pesach for him, and therefore, he would be Asa to marry her. It's Elosha Neder Toz. Rather, the reason why he's permitted to marry these women is because it was a mistake, it was a mistaken data. And you don't even have to do a Heter Chacham like the Ran explains. You don't have to even go to a Chacham to permit it. It was a neder toast. It was a mistaken neder, and therefore wasn't valid in its inception because it was all based on faulty understanding. And therefore, he's permitted to marry her. Now, Umay Sebechad actually was a story with a certain person, that he made a neder forbidding himself to have pleasure from his niece, his sister's daughter, which is that he didn't want to marry her, so he made a neder. Now, so therefore she was brought into Rabbi Shmuel's house and he made her beautiful. As the Gemara will explain how he did that. Now, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel said to the man now, Bani, my son, Mizuna Darta, was this the woman that you made a neder from that you're not going to go ahead and marry her? Amar Lav, he said, no, I never met such a beautiful woman. Vehitira Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rabbi Shmuel went and permitted the man to go ahead and marry her, which the Gemara will ask, that seemingly contradicts what we just said, where when she is ugly and then becomes beautiful, then that's not valid. It's only when she was always beautiful from the beginning. Now, at that moment, when Rabbi Shmuel saw what happened here, a woman was not being able to get married because this man made a neder from her because she was ugly, and then he made her pretty, and then he was willing to marry her. So he cried and he said, Yisrael noisen. He says, the Jewish women, they're beautiful. And it's the poverty that make them ugly. Now, when Bishmol died, so the Jewish women, they lifted up a lament, and they said, the Jewish women, cry over Bishmol. And that's the same terminology that was used by Shaul HaMelech, as it says in Shmuel Beis, Jewish women, El Shaul Bechina, that cry over Shaul HaMelech. Now, the Gemara wonders, as we alluded to this question, Maisa Lister? The Mishnah brings a story to contradict the halacha just said. In other words, how could it bring a story that contradicts? Because first you say that if she's ugly and she becomes beautiful, she's forbidden. It's only if she always was beautiful, so is the neder toz. If not, it's actually noilid, and therefore you can't use that as an opening. And then the Mishnah says that brings a story that Bishmol did permit such a thing, which she was ugly, and then he made her beautiful, and then he permitted this man who made a neder against this woman. So on that, the Gemara says, Yireh chasur mechster v'chagitani, there are words missing in our Mishnah, and this is the way it's supposed to say. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, he argues, and he says, Afilu k'ura v'nasas, no, even if she was ugly and she became beautiful, Shchayr v'nas levana, she was dark complexion, and she then became light complexion, Kitzar v'nas arucha, she was short, and then she became long, that actually is permitted, and that was what the Mishnah said, Maisa be'echad, she'nodim in basal chayse, with someone who took a neder, forbidding himself from his niece because she was ugly, and Yishmol brought her into his house and he made her beautiful, and then he went and let them get married. And the reason is, as the Ran explains, is because Yishmol holds that you could be paisech b'noilid, like Rabbi Eliezer said on the Mishnah's daf Samach Dalar Medalev, that noilid is not a problem, even if it's a later development, which is what happened over here. Her beauty actually was only later developed, and that's what he went and he paskin aloch and he did such a thing. Now, in spite of that, the Ran says we don't hold like that. Rather, like Rabbanan, who like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, hold that it's only if it turns out that she really was beautiful all along, which was a neder betos. Now, we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara explains Tanwin the Braiso, how did this happen? What did he do to this girl? So it says Shente Seves Haisula. Her tooth fell out, and she had a false tooth in its place, which was unsightly. So therefore, he didn't like this girl. And then Yishmael went and made from his own. He gave her a gold tooth, which made her beautiful, and that's when the man agreed to go ahead and marry her. Takishacha Rabbi Shmuel, the Braisa says, like our Mishnah said, when Rabbi Shmuel passed away, Pasach Alaha Husav Dan Hachi. So this eulogizer opened up in eulogizing Rabbi Shmuel, and he said, Benois Yisrael, the Jewish women, Eli Rabbi Shmuel Bechena, cry over Rabbi Shmuel, Hamabishchen Bechulu, who went and get you dressed and clothed you, like over here, where he went and made this Jewish woman beautiful, which is the same terminology again that was said by the Hesped of Shaul HaMelech. Now the Gemara now concludes till the end of the Perek regarding certain incidents regarding the piety of certain tzaddikim, like we find by Mishmal, where he went out of his way to help the Jewish woman, and it brings all these other stories of piety of Big Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara says, Ahud de Amalad of the Beisu. There was a certain man that told his wife, I'm taking neder, you cannot have any pleasure of me until you let the sages taste the food that you make. Let them go and have Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon taste your food. Now Rabbi Huda told him, Rabbi Huda went and tasted it. Again, this is what we're saying, how they would go out of the way for Shalom Bayis. Well, we're marrying, that was the story of Bishmol, getting her married, and all these are stories where it's regarding a woman and her husband. So Rabbi Huda tasted it, and Amar, he said, Kavo Chaymer, that it logically makes sense I should do this. Because of Malas is Shalom Bay Nishle Ishtay, if regarding making peace between husband and wife. Amr Tayr, the Torah says, Shmi Shenichta Bekdusha, my Hashem's name that's written in sanctity, Yimachal Amaim Hamararim, they take Hashem's name and they erase it in this water that causes the curse for the woman to become bloated if she had sinned as a Saita or not. And that's only besafik. That's out of doubt, meaning that's to inspect, meaning maybe it's going to make peace, because if she didn't, if she wasn't unfaithful, rather she was, then it'll bring peace between husband and wife. So Hashem lets his name be erased for the doubtful situation that's going to bring peace between husband and wife. So Vani Allah has kama bakama. So me, if tasting her food is going to make her husband happy and they're going to have shalom bayis, peace in their home, for sure I should go ahead and taste the food. But Reb Shimon lo yitam. Reb Shimon did not taste the food. Amar, he said, Yemusu kol b'nei almanam. Let all the sons of the widow die. And that is, it's a double curse. He's cursing the husband to die, and that the wife will then be a widow. So then he's cursing the sons of the widow, that they're called the sons of the widow after the husband dies, that they should also die. And as the Marshal explains, why should the sons die? Because that's what the Gemara says elsewhere, b'avay nedarim b'anem meinsa, which he made a neder here against his wife to go ahead and feed these tzaddikim food. So in the sin of vows, then children die. And moreover, he says, Shimon will not budge from his place. Moreover, he says, another reason why is, if I'm going to go ahead and taste the food, we're just going to be encouraging this person to have these bad habits of making the darm, and therefore, let him die, let his children die, and I'm not going to taste the food that he's sending us. Now, moreover, the Gemara continues with another incident. A certain man told his wife, I'm taking a neder, you cannot have pleasure from me, until you spit at Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, Asis v'rakka galvushe, she came and she spit on his clothing. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel permitted her now, okay, you fulfilled the neder of your husband, go ahead, go home, and you could have enough from him. Now, the Gemara asks, Omele Ravacham adifta l'ravina, Ravacham adifta esma ravina, but v'ho, hi lizi lusa komachavin. This husband, what was his intention? He wanted to degrade the Talmudic sage Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, if that's the case, then she would have to spit at his body to degrade him, because that's generally the halacha, that a person's garment is not the degradation that is by his body. So he really wanted to disgrace him. How did he let her go back home, and as a fulfillment of the nether, she only spit at his clothing, not at his body? So Amalei Ravina responded to him. He says, Merik amani de Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, spitting at the clothing of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that's Zilusa Rapsi. That's also very degrading. And therefore, that was a fulfillment of degrading Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Continuing on these stories about the righteous that took an insult for the sake of Shalom Bayis, Hahu de Amalala de Besu. There was somebody that told his wife, Koin mishi'iyat nenesli. Taking a neder, you cannot have pleasure from me. Achatiri mum yof v'shebech l'Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yisi. And here the word mum doesn't mean something bad. It means just the term of like something. Until you show something beautiful about you in your body to Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yisi. And that is, you're so ugly, there's nothing about you. Let them find something pretty about you. So Amalehem, so Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yisi said to the people around him, Shema reishana, maybe her head is beautiful. And that is, the righteous don't necessarily look at the woman. And so he had to find something good about her. So he said, maybe her head is beautiful. So Amar Loi, they said to him, no, it's a galgal. It's round. It's not a beautiful head. So he said, Shema Sire, no, maybe her hair is beautiful. So they said, no, Daimala Nitzi Pishtan. It's like bundles of flax that is just clumped together. So he said, Shemei now, no, maybe she has beautiful eyes. So they said, no, Trutei's hand. They're round. They're not even that. The oval, they're not the shape that eyes are beautiful. So he said, Shema is now nice, maybe she has beautiful ears. So they said, no, Kfulisen. They're so large, they're like doubled over, that they're not beautiful. So they said, Shema Chaitman, no, maybe she has a beautiful nose. So they said, no, Balamhu. It's so short and truncated, it's like closed up. It's not beautiful. So they said, Shema Sefsesen, nice. Maybe her lips are beautiful. So they said, no, Avasen, they're thick. So he said, Shema Tzavar, no, maybe she has a beautiful neck. So they said, no, shakadu. It's a short neck, which is not the beauty of a neck, which is a long. So they said, Shema Kresina, maybe she has a beautiful abdomen. So they said, no, Tzavahu, she has a bloated stomach. So he said, Shema Raglanois, maybe she has beautiful feet. So they said, no, Rechabes Kishal Avza, it's wide like geese. Now, like geese have their feet. Now he said, Veshema Shmona, maybe she has at least a beautiful name. So they said, no, Lachlucha Shma. Her name is Lachluchas, which means filthy, which means stained. So Amlehan, he said, oh, I found something beautiful about her. And that's because beauty is harmony, symmetry, something when it's syntonic. Said, Yofa Karinas Lachluchas. That's a beautiful name for her. That matches, that's syntonic, that her name is Lachluchas. Shehi Muluchleches B'mumin, because she's stained with all these blemishes, how ugly she is, B'sharia. And he permitted her to go back home because he found something beautiful, again, which is that something that's harmonious, which that's what it was, her name was, to who she was. Now, continuing on this theme, another incident the Gemara brings. Ahu bar Bavel, the Salik la'Ard Yisrael, there was a certain Babylonian that came up to live in Eretz Yisrael. And Nosavitza, he married a woman. Amallah, he said to this wife, who was a very literal type of a person, and we see that many of the problems of Shalom Bayis that they had, he told her, Bashili li trei talfi, I want you to cook for me two lentils. Now, what he meant was just, you know, a little bit. And that's the way people talk, you know, make for me one or two. And she was very unintelligent, and she thought it meant literally. So, Bishila lay trei talfi. She cooked for him two lentils for supper. Yay. Rasachalis, he got very upset. So, Lamach Armalah, so the next day he told her, okay, Bishila li griva, make for me a huge measurement. In other words, make for me a lot. Now, he thought that, okay, you know, she likes making a little bit, so I'm going to tell her the other extreme, so she'll make me a normal meal. And what happened? Bishila griva, she made for him this huge measurement, a whole bunch of amount. And that's obviously was way overboard. So Amalah, he told her, look, zili aisili tre butzani, go ahead and bring me two butzini. Now, that's the Aramaic, where he came from, Bavel, translation of avatichim, of melons. Now, however, aslis v'aisili tre shrogi, she brought him two lamps, which the Aramaic translation is also butzini. But that's not what, I'm eating supper. I asked for melons, I know it has a similar wording, but she brought him two lamps. So now, because he was so angry at her, so Amalah, he said to her, look, Zili Tavriyas and Al-Resha the Bava, go take these lamps you brought me and break it on the Bava. Now, Bava means the door frame. Now, she thought when he said Bava, Bava, who's Bava? Oh, the Tzadik Hadar, Bava Ben Buta. So Hava Yosef, Bava Ben Buta, Abava. So poetically, Bava Ben Buta was on the Bava, meaning he was sitting by the doorway. V'kodoyin dinan, he was judging a court case. Azlis v'tavrid yasin al-resh, he takes the two lamps and smashes it on the tzaddik's head. So Amalah, he said to the woman, Ma adin da'avdis, what are you doing? So Amalah, she said to him, Kach tzivani bali, this is what my husband told me to do. So Amalah, he said to her, At asis ritzayim balacha, you are fulfilling the desire of your husband. Hamakim yitzim imcha shnei bonim kebava ben buta. Hashem should bring forth from you two great sons, giants, like Bava ben buta, which should correlate the two lamps, which we always know, Ur is always that of Torah, that you went and smashed on my head. And that's what the Ran explains. That's why we're bringing this story over here, to show us the piety, the great tzidkas of Bava Mbuta, just like we brought the story of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, where they went out of their way and they didn't care about their own honor, but rather that it brings peace in the Jewish homes between husband and wife. Hadnu lach Rebbe Eliezer, we shall return to you the ninth parak Maseches Nedarim, parak Rebbe Eliezer.